My name is Justin Cox. That's my wife, Evelyn. Our son, Matthias, is in the nursery. And we are church planting medical missionaries to the country of Venezuela. Yes, Venezuela, the same thing that you hear in the news all the time. That crazy country. It's actually ranked as the most dangerous country in the world at the moment, and which is, it's pretty bad down there. So what happened was is, yes, it's dangerous because they ran out of food. Right? Now, when I say they ran out of food, I mean they literally actually ran out of food. When I was there in 2009, the first time, the average Venezuelan, about 30% of the population of Venezuela, would eat one meal a day. Okay? That's 30% of the population in 2009 would eat one meal a day. Today, all right, as we speak, about 86% of the country eats one meal a day. All right? And I just found out yesterday, I was doing a little update following some kind of videos of tourism and things in the country, and the guy who went there. The average Venezuelan makes 40,000 bees, that's their bolivars, is their currency. So they make 40,000 of them, okay, in a month, 40,000, all right? A hot dog right now, as we speak, as of yesterday, a hot dog in the country costs 10,000 bolivars. So your entire month's salary will buy you 4 hot dogs. So you can tell when I say that they're starving to death, that they're literally starving to death, right? So that's what's going on down there. Now, I know that there's a lot of things out there because of Hollywood, and I thought the same way at first, okay? When we talk about the black market, all right, we say the black market, that's where you buy drugs and guns and bad stuff on the black market. In Venezuela, they actually go to the black market to buy food. They actually buy food on the black market. So it's not what you think it is. It's more like a craft show downtown. And instead of the local farmers selling to the stores, which they do, if you have a lot of money, you can go to a store and try to buy something. You can go there to the craft show, and the farmers will trade with you. So, like, you'll give up some beans, and they'll give you corn, and that's how they actually are getting by day to day right now. But that food shortage is what caused the increase in violence. You say, how bad is it, Justin? It's so violent. Well, it's safer to go skydiving, according to Google, than going to Venezuela. Your chances of dying while skydiving are 1 in 100,000. Your chances of dying in Venezuela are 1 in 16,000 every single day. So it's just a lot. Now, yes, that's the case. Yes, there's an 80% chance that we'll die in the first 6 months. So if you follow the math, you know, that's just the way it is. I actually had a pastor once tell me just recently, he says, Justin, I don't know about supporting you. I really have to pray about this. I feel like I'm embedding in your death. And I said, well, really, you know, the same way for Paul, you know, in the Bible, you know, and that's just how it is, you know. The truth is that it is dangerous in Venezuela, but it's dangerous on the south side of Chicago, okay? The reality is that it's very dangerous at nighttime. So we don't go out at nighttime, okay? When the sun starts to set, you go home, all right? And that'll solve a lot of the problems. There's no reason to be out at midnight anyway, all right? Just wait, okay? And you'll go a long way. So that food shortage led to an increase in violence, but despite all of that, the people are very open to the gospel. Very open to the gospel. They're very friendly, very kind. They love Americans, unless they work for the government. They love Americans, and they love our culture and our people, and so that side's really awesome. Now, getting into the country, all right, which we call creative entry. Venezuela is a creative entry country like China, which means that there's different ways to get into the country. You can go in as a tourist as we speak, all right? You can't get a direct flight there anymore. The United States doesn't fly any planes there. One time the government, they took a Southwest jet, never gave it back, so they stopped flying down there. So that's what happened. So anyway, because of all the violence and stuff, the political side of it, you can't get a direct flight. But if you were to fly into Panama, you could fly in from Panama to Venezuela, and you can actually go there. And you can get in, all right? It's tough, but you can get in with a visa, a tourist visa, and you can apply for one and get in. And they're going to ask you a lot of questions on why you're there. So we go in. We can actually do medical missions there, which is pretty awesome. Now, there is a visa that you can get, all right? That's not a tourist visa. It's not a 90-day visa that you have to renew every 90 days. It's a visa that you renew every single year. All right, and then after 7 years, you become a citizen of Venezuela. You get dual citizenship. Right now, they're kind of having trouble offering those. I was already going to get the visas actually this month, but that was a no-go. This is what happened. Since they split the government, now we have two governments down there. We have like Maduro versus Guido, okay, Juan Guido, and Maduro, he took over for Chavez. We all remember that. So we're slowly transitioning Maduro out, which is good, but it's taking forever. So why is that important? When we go to the embassy in New York City and ask for a visa, they say, okay, fill out the paperwork. Who do they send it to? They don't know. Do they send it to Maduro? Do they send it to Guido? And that issue has caused some problems for us, okay? It's one of the things going on right now, just so you know. All right, now, we are at 80% support. Praise the Lord. We're going to fly out May 1st of next year to language school in Costa Rica, San Juan, the Spanish Institute in Costa Rica. And we're going to go there for a few months, learn Spanish fluently, and then fly into Venezuela. Because we all know that if you can't speak the language, it's, you know, it's not going to work very well. I can speak some Spanish. My wife can speak some Spanish. As you'll see from the video, she's been to Honduras, Peru, medical missions, stuff like that. However, it's not the same as Bible terminology, right? We need to be able to speak the Bible very clearly. That's our job. That's what we do as Christians. So that's one of the, but we're going to be able to get into the country that way. We work with Jerry and Barbara Alfred when we're there. Jerry and Barbara have been there for 33 years, started just over 15 churches in the country of Venezuela. He's still there. He's still alive. So we go there to work from him. Now, listen, Venezuela is a different place. And yes, you have to make different sacrifices than you do in America. Your entire life is different. Okay, it's different. You say, what do you mean? Well, one thing, when Pastor Jerry gets dropped off or takes public transportation like a taxi cab, he has to be dropped off two blocks from his house so they don't know what building he walked into. Nobody's allowed to know where you live as an American, not even your own church family. So it's not a big deal. You just go there, and if we want to visit with somebody, we go to their house. They don't come to ours. It's a risk for them to know where you live as an American, and it's a risk to yourself from a security standpoint. So that's just kind of some of the things that are different in Venezuela. But I know people ask all the time, why go to a place like this, Justin? That's so dangerous. It's different. Me going, not so hard. Me taking my wife, a little bit more difficult, not too bad. Me raising a family there, very difficult, right? Because what our kids are going to see every day. But why go to a place like that? Because somebody told me the gospel. It changed my life. Literally. And, you know, Christ came and died on a cross for us. He died on a cross for me. And what else could I do except do exactly what he says and live for him? So please come by, get a bookmark, pray for us, all right? They look like this. There's tons of them on the back table. And you can take three, four, whatever. Put one on your fridge, whatever you want to do. And pray for us. As I always say, prayer is critical. All right, the most important times of life, prayer is what makes a difference. All right, like I say, you can give us $1 million, but it won't stop a bullet. But it will buy us body armor. So, you know, it'll help. A little resistant, but that's the reality of it, you know. Prayer is what makes a difference. So we'll watch a video, and then after that, then we'll get into Acts chapter 14. Thank you.
Venezuela, named the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela since 1999, is located on the northern coast of South America. The country comprises a continental mainland and numerous islands in the Caribbean Sea. With a population of 31 million in the country, the largest city is Caracas and also the capital. Roman Catholicism is the dominant religion with 96%. Venezuela is known widely for its petroleum industry and has the largest proven oil reserve in the world. In the midst of one of the largest economic disasters in recent history, The food and medical shortages and political turmoil have left this country in a perilous state.
My name is Justin Cox, and my wife Evelyn and I are called to the country of Venezuela, South America.
We are sent out of Christ Church Baptist Fellowship, Houston, Texas, Pastor Dr. Johnny Pope.
I've taken two survey trips to Venezuela, one in 2009, where I was able to help put the steel framing of a church roof on, and again another one in 2013. I was able to travel to the east side of the country of Venezuela, and there I saw many cities of almost 500,000 people that did not have a church that preached the gospel of any denomination.
We are so excited to begin our missionary journey in Venezuela, South America. The Lord blessed me with the ability to go to school and to get my bachelor's degree in nursing. At the time, I didn't fully understand how the Lord was going to use me and the talents that He gave me. But praise the Lord, He always has a plan. Since then, I've been able to take several medical missions trips to El Progreso, Honduras, and Alto Trujillo, Peru. The Lord greatly blessed those trips. Our medical team was able to treat thousands of people physically. We were also able to lead those precious souls in a one-on-one gospel presentation, which led to 170 people accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior.
When my wife and I return in 2019 to the country of Venezuela, we will work alongside Pastor Jerry and his wife Barbara, reaching people through the means of soul winning, Bible studies in their homes, prayer, and then using medical missions outreach as one of the means to bring people in to hear the gospel. After our first term is complete, we will then branch out on our own and continue to plant churches across the country of Venezuela.
I've also been able to work on a critical care cardiac floor in a hospital, during which the Lord has given me multiple opportunities to present the gospel to my coworkers and patients alike. Having been a critical care nurse for 3 years now, I am so thankful and so excited to be able to take this talent the Lord has given me with me into Venezuela when we return in 2019. One of our goals in Venezuela is to start a clinic there during our second term. We also desire to have medical teams come into the country to help us reach as many of these precious souls as we can, both medically and spiritually. We are so grateful and so thankful for your prayers, and we pray that you would consider financially supporting us as we reach Venezuela with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
My wife Evelyn and I greatly appreciate and thank you for every prayer and financial support that you have provided. And we need your help to reach the people of Venezuela with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
clock is slightly off, just so you know. Not a big deal. It's actually behind. Anyway, so if Acts chapter 14, we'll start off in Acts chapter 14. If you find it, if you'll stand with me, what a blessing in a way I know where you, that you're there. Acts chapter 14. So in Acts chapter 14, we're picking up where Paul and Barnabas are traveling to the city of Iconium. This is actually the first time in the New Testament that the gospel is being preached to the Gentiles and the Jews at the same time. And that's a big deal, because before this, it was split, all right? If they had church, it was just the Gentiles or just the Jews. They weren't getting along. But praise the Lord that the ground at the cross is level. We know that we're all the same. And so here, they've come together and realized that. So Acts chapter 14, I'll read verses 1 through 7. And it says, "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude both of the Jews and also of the Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel." Let's pray. Father, we come before you, Lord, through your Son, Jesus Christ, the only way that we can. Lord, thank you for this wonderful evening. Thank you for getting everybody to church safely. Lord, I just pray that your words will speak through me unto the hearts of your people. Would you hide me behind the cross, Lord? May we just love you and thank you. In your Son's name, Jesus Christ, amen. You may be seated. Point number one tonight, this evening, is the work of the believer, the work of the believer. The title of this message, if you take notes, is the mission of the believer. But point number one is the work of the believer. We see in verse one, all right, that when it came to pass that they went, all right, the work of the believer, someone must go. They went, all right. Now you can break missions down into three categories. There's go missions, there's co missions, and then there's no missions, right? So there's go missions, somebody must go. You know, praise the Lord that we get to go. Not just here, but around here as well, right? So there's go missions. There's co-missions, all right, which, now listen, I was a quality engineer for 8 years in the auto industry when I was being trained in Bible college, and I'm thankful for the job that I had and what I was able to do. And if you own a Ford Explorer between the years of 2008 and 2016, we built every black part on the bottom of that vehicle, and I was in charge of it. So that's what I did. So you say, why is that important? It's not. But the idea, in co-missions, what I'm saying is this, when I first got into church and things, I had no idea what a lot of things were with missions. I didn't know how missions worked. I didn't know how they raised their funds. I didn't know anything, right? I was just sitting there in the pew like, okay, just tell me what to do. And, but the truth is, in co-missions, you know, you always think prayer, you always think finances, and praise the Lord for those two things. They're important. But one of the greatest things that has fallen by the wayside is encouragement. It's encouragement. Now, I don't have the statistics before me this evening, but they say the number one reason that missionaries leave the field is discouragement. It's not funds. It's not a lack of prayer. It's discouragement. So that's a big deal. So, you know, I sent our letter out yesterday or two nights ago. 402 people received our letter. I got a reply from two people. One was an automated message, and one person actually wrote us back from Fairbanks, Alaska. And praise the Lord for that. And but 402 people received an email, and two people responded. One actually responded. So, you know, missions is kind of like a one-way thing. Like, you see a lot, like, we just keep sending things back and forth. So what I'm saying is that we need to work on the encouragement side, right? We need to make sure that, get your missionaries' emails, send them a letter, send them a message, and ask them, you know, how they're doing, what you can pray for them for. We do have one church in Ohio. Once in a while, we'll get a letter from their young people, one of their teenagers that are involved, and they'll say, hey, you're my missionary of the month. What can I pray for you for? And we'll send them new things, and they'll learn things that nobody knows yet because they're asking me in the middle of the month, and you know, like, praise the Lord. So we have our second child on the way, due October 4th. Now listen, that's a big deal. Are you having a second child? That's a big deal because we have to go to the mission field with two children. Now this is different. We don't think this way. We live in America. In Venezuela, if you have a child and that child is born in the country of Venezuela, it is, the law states this, that you're not allowed to, that child is not allowed to leave until age 16. Okay? So that's the law. Okay? So if they're born in Venezuela and you want to go on furlough, your child is not going. Okay? They stay in that country. Even though they're an American citizen, whatever, they're not allowed to leave the country until age 16. They passed that law in 2009, I believe, and I know some missionaries, we know some missionaries that actually came out of the country like a week before that because of the passing of that law. So they had two kids that were just born there. And but that's Venezuela. That's the law. So it's something to think about. We don't live that way. So we get to have our second child, praise the Lord, and we'll go into the country with two children. And now listen, a lot of times you get discouraged and you think like, man, how's this going to work? Listen, God will make a way, all right? I did the math, all right? And the math states that I need two extra churches a month is all that it takes for us to have a child in the United States every 2 years. That's it. All right? So, you know, you would think like, man, that's a big hindrance. Like, what if you have a child in the country? Well, we just figured out a way around it. You just pray about it. God will give you the right wisdom. He'll give you the direction, amen? But, you know, so co-missions. Co-missions is important, and no missions, you know, we know what that is. But honestly, I didn't know. When I first got saved, and I didn't know. There's so much I didn't know. And so somebody just needed to tell me what I was supposed to do. And the more that I prayed about it, the more that God showed me and opened doors about giving, different ways to give, different, like, it's just amazing. God's just done that, and I'm very thankful for that. But go. Somebody must go. You know, we always say that there's those that are willing to give it all and those that are willing to let them. You know, I'm going to go to Venezuela. Praise the Lord, brother. Better you than me. Go ahead. And I'll see you. I'll pray for you. You know, so, you know, we all know Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And we know, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel and bring peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And the best thing is the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we know. You know, in Acts 1:8, and I'll flip over there. What's interesting about Acts 1:8 is the fact that it says right here, one of the most famous verses in the Bible. Now listen, I've never been a great person at memorizing verses. I work on certain verses. I have some memorized, all right? But my wife over here, she can memorize chapters out of the Bible. Praise the Lord for her, okay? That's not me, all right? That's why I write it down. All right, I carry a pen, all right? Praise the Lord for that. Now we have this thing called a cell phone. You can Google stuff. I mean, you can Google an idea, like a phrase, and it'll come up in the Bible, but you can Google, like, every verse on forgiveness, and it'll give you ones that don't even have the word forgiveness in them. And just the concept, principle, it's amazing what the technology we have today used for good. But in Acts 1:8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both." So that's all we need to know. Because both is added at the same time, together, not here and then there and then far away, like sometimes we hear. That's a great strategy, but at the same time, the verse says both. That's why we support missions worldwide and locally at the same time, right? And we go out and witness to people because all we do is just obey what we can understand in the Bible. So here we are. I always say this, when you get serious about souls, God will get serious about his servant. You know, when you get serious about souls, God will get serious about his servant. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Seeking souls. Seeking souls. Are we seeking souls? That's the right question. You know, in the last 24 hours in the United States alone, just in the last 24 hours, 6,775 people died since this time last night. 6,775. That's a lot. And I always think to myself, what did I do to make a difference in that number since that time yesterday? In the world, it's just over 151,000 people in the world just since this time last night. That's not very much time has passed. So I always think, what did I do to make a difference in that, right? How can I do better? What can I do different, you know? We talk about ways to hand out gospel tracts. This is one of the greatest tools we have as a Christian right here. This one says, 7 things you need to know. 7 things, and guess what the 7 things are? Walks you right through Romans Road. So, praise the Lord, you need to know how to get saved. And right here, 7 things you need to know. But there's tons of ways to hand out tracts, you know. We can go on track blitzes, put them on cars at Walmart, hand out on street corners, things like that. Now listen, if I'm ever doing a big day, like a Friends Day or something, besides Facebook advertising, and I talk a lot about that, just got into that and working with churches on Facebook advertising, 7 out of 10 Americans are on Facebook, an average of 2 hours a day. And it's the cheapest form of advertising that there is. And it's just phenomenal. You can, tons of ways to do it. Anyway, besides Facebook, if you have like a flyer for like a day that you're going to do, like a fall program, something like that, instead of going to every house, which would take a while, takes 2 years when I was working in Michigan on my bus route, it would take me 2 years to get through both towns every time once. And I can just go to the grocery stores and hit all the grocery stores at the same time in one day. So at 10 a.m., I'll go and hit the Walmart, the Kroger, the Tops, and I'd do all the grocery stores at 10 a.m. on Saturday. Then at 6 p.m. on Saturday, I'd go again on the same day and put all the flyers out again, because most people don't go to the grocery store twice for several hours, so it works out that way. I can hit everybody that way. So I can get all the cars. I can get 400, 500 people to know about something right away. So it's incredible. And so just something to think about. You stand out on street corners, go church-wide soul winning, visitation, send them out in cards for the holidays, you know, birthdays, holidays, go door-to-door, put them on gas pumps, put them in the handle, tape one in the front. I saw this. I started doing it. I carry tape in my driver's door now. Actually, I just put one in the handle because the tape's not sticking anymore. But tape it right to the front of the gas pump. And when you get out and they're getting fuel, it says, if you die today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? It's right there in front of their face. I mean, they're not going to run away. It's right there. And so praise the Lord. So I started doing that. In public bathrooms, you can put them in the corners, different things like that. You say, Justin, I don't like talking to people. All right, confrontation, just not my thing. Okay, not that bad. And since I've been saved in 2003, I've only had 2 instances where somebody actually like yelled at me. The rest of the time, everybody was happy, just so you know. It's not what we sometimes think that it is. But if you don't absolutely want to talk to anybody, yes, you can be a secret agent for Jesus Christ. There's even a way to do that. You can go to like a Walmart and put one in every jacket pocket and every pants pocket. And when somebody buys it, they'll take home the gospel. There's always a way. I'm just saying, there's always a way. There's always a way. And sometimes we forget that there's always a way and more ways to do things when we pray about it. So somebody must go in verse 1, right? It says in verse 1, and it came to pass that they went. They didn't only go, they applied themselves. In verse 1, it says, they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews and so spake. So they didn't just go there and stand around and do nothing. They applied themselves. Amen? Now, God has blessed us with a lot of talents that we get to use for him. Praise the Lord. I know painting, construction, accounting. I went to college for business before theology. You know, I'm a first responder, a bunch of things like that. But we do medical missions, my wife and I. One of the tools to help bring people in. All right. The MMO is a great, great tool. They're Baptists, and they give the gospel. That's one of the things that sets them apart. So what they'll do is they'll set up a school, a lot of times for a church plant. All right, we're going to start a church. We need to get a lot of people in. They'll come in for 10 days, and they'll do a clinic, and they filter the people through the school, like an old school building. They make it a clinic. And then before they leave, each person gets the gospel one-on-one in their native language. All right, and because of that, that's why they see so many people get saved. They take all those records and they give them to the local missionaries before they leave, so they have follow-up information, addresses, names, everything on those people to build the church. Very effective. All right, so that's one of the things we get to do, medical missions. Now, there's ways I could tell you a smaller scale what we'll be doing when we're down there, but for the sake of time, we'll move on. So they didn't only go, they applied themselves, but they went together, all right, under point number 1, they went together, all right. We get to work with Pastor Jerry and his wife Barbara when we're down there. It's biblical, and we're very thankful for that. So point number 2 tonight is the focus of the believer, the focus of the believer. All right, in verse 2, let's look at our text. Now, I'm not going to be super, you know, spiritual tonight or anything. I'm just going to read through the 7 verses that we went over because I'm a simple guy, all right. So here we are. the focus of the believer. Verse number 2, the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. I think it's funny how in this passage the most religious people in the city were the ones that caused all the problems. You know, Venezuela, they say, is 96% Roman Catholic. 96% Roman Catholic. I don't believe that. I've been there. I asked them. I asked a lady. She said, she says, well, I'm Roman Catholic. I said, okay, when's the last time you went to church? She says, I never went to church. I said, okay. I said, do you know who the priest or, you know, the father, the bishop is in this area for that church? Or no? I said, okay, so you say you're Roman Catholic, but you've never been to church. And so I grew up Disciples of Christ, and my whole family was Catholic. A lot of them are above us, are Catholic, my aunts and uncles and stuff like that. And so I know as a Catholic, you got to go to church. And because it matters to them with their beliefs, all right? Now we know church doesn't get you saved, okay? All right? But that's the case. So I say about 40% of them are actually devout Catholics, and then the rest are just kind of nowhere. They're just out there trying to find out what their religion is. They might have heard of Jesus or know about Jesus, but they're not saved. And then there's about 4% of people who are actually saved, and they're born again, and they're out there, and they're working hard. So that's about how that's going. There's about 30 million people in the country of Venezuela. So there's going to be trials, but in the midst of a battle, a soldier must remain focused. Proverbs 29, 9 and 10 says, if a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. We must keep the main thing the main thing. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. You know, we're not there to build power plants, even though that they went over a week with no power. One of the things Pastor Jerry sent me a bunch of photos recently, in his kitchen floor, he has all these 5-gallon buckets, and they're filled with water. And the whole kitchen floor is full of them. Like, you can't even get in the kitchen. And he says, Justin, what's going on right now is the electricity turns on for about an hour a day in the morning. All right? When that electricity turns on, they start filling buckets because the electricity runs the water pumps to the buildings. So they have to fill up all the buckets, and that's the water they use for the rest of the day. To cook, to drink, to do whatever. They need that water. And that's how they live right now. Their power shuts off. It's off for the entire rest of the day until the next morning. Praise the Lord, it's coming on an hour a day. It was out for over a week and never even came on. So that's what he's dealing with right now. Yes, that's exactly what we're going to. So praise the Lord for that they have water. Point number 3, the determination of the believer in verse 3 there. It says, long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. I didn't see this first time I read this verse. But friend, it says, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace. When's the last time your testimony spoke about the grace of God? Amen. The grace of God. You know, praise the Lord. I'm happy. I'm blessed. I'm very thankful that God has brought me from the world to being saved and all the things that he's done for me. God gave me a great wife that I don't deserve. She's not barren, unlike one of my best friends. He wasn't able to have kids. He had to do IVF. $13,000 for every kid that they have. That's what they have to pay to have a child, $13,000. And that's not even including the hospital stay and all that stuff that comes with it, right? So that's it. I didn't have that problem. Thank you, the Lord, that was not the case with us. You know, we're not wealthy, but all of our bills are paid currently. Praise the Lord for that. You know, we're not starving. We eat every day, unlike Venezuela. You know, the lights are on. Praise the Lord, unlike Venezuela. You know, God's been good, and I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful for him. I know in Job 42:11, I'll read the verse for you. I saw this, changed my life. You know, we all know the story of Job. Job, everybody says, oh, well, Job, you know, he lost everything, but at the end of his life, he ended up with twice as much as he started with. Okay, that's true. Not that any of us want to go through that, but I didn't know this at first, but God did not bring everything down at the end of Job's life there on a silver platter. So at the end of the book, he doesn't come down like with everything and say, hey, Job, here you go. Here's all the money that you need, and now you have twice as much of everything. It's not like that. In Job chapter 42, verse 11, it says this, "Then came there unto him all his brethren, and all his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him." It's funny, when you read the book, you find out that God was in control and God knew what he was doing. It says, "Every man," this is very important, it says, "every man also gave him a piece of money and everyone an earring of gold." That's how Job ended up with twice as much. God uses people to help other people. And that's what he did in Job's life. At the end of Job's life, God used the people around him to help him. That's why we missionaries use churches. We have churches that help support us to help the work on the field so it can get done. Because God uses people to help other people, right? All right, the determination to seek the souls of the lost. The reward, friend, is souls. It's souls. You know, in Venezuela, you need a passport number every time you buy something. If you go to the store and you try to buy a bag of chips and you put down cash and try to walk out, they're going to say, no, what's your number? Now, for me, that's a passport number. I don't have a driver's license there. So you pull out your passport and you tell them the number. They type it into the register. It unlocks the register so you can buy stuff. All right? Just like the book of Revelation says. All right? Now, I'm not going to get into it, but don't worry about it. It's not with the book of Revelation, okay? Don't worry about the number thing, okay? That's not it, all right? It's not going to be that way, all right? It's similar, but we're not going to get into that right now. So long story short, it's not in my arm, it's not in my head, it's not a symbol that tells everybody in the world that I'm a Christian, because Christians are marked, and then the world is marked as well in that passage. So, but the determination is to seek the souls of the lost. Why go to a place with food and power rations? Why go to a place where society tries to dictate when you get up, when you go to bed, where you need a passport number every time you buy something to seek the souls of the lost, right? And the reward is souls. Point number four is the opposition of the believer's mission. In verses 4 and 5, it says, "But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them." There's a falling away, a division. Friend, there's always going to be opposition where the gospel is being preached and souls are being saved. Because the devil is real, the flesh is real, and hell is real. You know, the devil's real. He tempted Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. I don't know why we think he won't tempt us. He will. You know, the flesh is real. Not only does our deadly, worldly, carnal flesh want to hold on, all right, not just the world's influence around us, but the memories that we have, right? The memories. I got to wake up every day with the decisions that I've made in the past and make a choice on whether I'm going to listen to those things or am I going to listen to the Word of God. And, I have a lot of people around me that aren't saved just because some of my family's not saved, and they say things all the time that are just not, they're not wise. Let's just put it that way. And with that, you know, you say, how do you deal with that? Well, we get up every day and read the Word of God. Seek the Word of God. See what to find out what the Word of God says about it and then follow that, right? So we can live a better life. And then hell is real. No one wants to hear nor face the reality that they're going to die and go to hell unless they accept Jesus Christ, not only around us, but 31 million souls in Venezuela. Point number five, our last point tonight, is the mission of the believer. Verses 6 and 7 in our text. Verse 6 says, "They were aware of it," that they were going to be stoned, "and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about." They fled not because they were scared. We know because Paul later in this chapter gets stoned, right, in Lystra. But maybe because the Holy Spirit led them to. God opened that door for them to go down there. Maybe they fled because it's hard to preach the gospel when you're dead. It's going to be over. So God opened the door for them to go to Lystra and Derbe. Now, if you have a map in your Bible, you see it's actually below Iconium. They went down there to preach the gospel there, and they were able to start churches there, and a lot of people got saved, and praise the Lord for that. You know, Venezuela, Caracas, Venezuela, was ranked the world's most dangerous city in 2016. We don't go to Caracas. Okay, we're going to Venezuela, we just don't go to Caracas. We get to go outside of the city of Caracas. We're going to work with Pastor Jerry in Maracay. The city of Maracay is just over 1 million people there. And we get to work with him right there. We can win nationals, and the nationals then can go into Caracas and win Caracas to Christ. There's also another American missionary working just outside of Caracas on the edge. Praise the Lord for that. But they'll be better accepted anyway. I'll never be Venezuelan, right, ever. All right, so they will be better accepted than us, and we're thankful for that. God opened the door for us to go there to Venezuela, and through that, not through Caracas, not to Caracas, but to Maracay. Now, just like here, God led them away from Iconium unto Lystra and Derbe. Same thing. We know that Matthew 28, 19, 20 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." You know, in verse 7 there, it says, "And they preached the gospel." Now, Luke 19, 10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's the whole purpose right there, to seek souls and to save that which was lost. 2 Corinthians 10, 16 says, "To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you." Now, that's the most practical way that I can possibly say this. What does that mean? To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. I can reach that far. That's it. All right? Beyond my fingertips is beyond me. I cannot reach any further. So everything beyond my fingertips needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it's beyond me. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, right? That is literally beyond me. Everything else needs the gospel. Now, friend, if you don't know what gospel I'm talking about, we'd be glad to tell you and show you from the Word of God, if you died today, how you would know 100% for sure that if you died today, you could go straight to heaven. And that's important. And if you don't know that, we'd be glad to show you and tell you. You can come up afterwards, pastor or myself or anybody would love to show you that from the Bible, what the Bible says. Now listen, I grew up more Roman Catholic. It's not about what the priest says. It's about what the Bible says. Amen. All right? We'll never show you anything that we say and say, "Hey, listen, you need to do this because I said so." It's what the Bible says. All right? That's very, very important. All right? So, you know, in all of this, I know that we say, well, you need to do a little more, a little more. Well, how am I supposed to do a little more? Well, a little more for missions. What is a little more? Well, a little more is like when I'm eating Oreos and I have like the whole sleeve eaten except like four, and I'm like, I can do a little more. I know I can. I can do more. And, you know, or I'm checking out at Walmart and there's like these peanut M&Ms and I'm like, you know, I shouldn't eat these peanut M&Ms. It's just bad for me. But just put them on the belt anyway. All right, we can do a little more, all right? It's like 89 cents for those peanut M&Ms. So now they have like half the amount that they used to have. They're getting to the point where you just can't even buy them anymore. So, but praise the Lord, a little more. You know, it's amazing. We're just reading about the differences in the slums yesterday in Venezuela. $10, you know, $5, you know, you give $5 a month and you think, man, what's that going to do? But it can do a lot. $5 a month is a lot. So there's 30 slums in Venezuela, or 30 soup kitchens in the largest slum in the world in Caracas, Venezuela. Now, there's a lot of people that say San Paulo, Brazil has the largest slum in the world because it's split up. But if you take it and put it together, building by building, continuous, they say that Venezuela has the largest slum in the world, the poorest place that you can be. Now, I don't think it's as poor as Haiti. That's just me. You know, and I know Joel and my friend Joel Desir there. He's doing a great work there. But they are. There's a huge slum there, and they have a lot of soup kitchens that they're working with there. But in there, to give you an idea, $10 will feed a child for a month. That's amazing to think that, right? It's amazing to think that. So sometimes we think like a little bit of money is not going to go a long way, but God can, man. Little is much when God is in it, you know. So, friend, as I close tonight, I just want to tell you it's hard to hand out a gospel tract when we don't have one. It's hard to hand out a gospel tract when we don't have one. You know, I'll leave you with this. We are as spiritual as we want to be. Whether you get up tomorrow and read your Bibles, completely up to you. Whether you walk out of here and take a few gospel tracts out of the rack and put them in your pocket to hand out this week, that's completely up to you. Now, I'm not telling you, like, you need to go out and do something. I mean, if you want to go out and hand out 100 tracts this week, that's great, okay? But that's not practical, right? Living our day-to-day life, when I was a quality engineer, if I ever spoke about Christ on the floor, I could get fired because I was an indirect in management. So if you brought up the conversation, I was allowed to talk to you, but otherwise I wasn't allowed to bring it up. And people knew. They knew I was a Christian, right? I'd walk down the floor, and Jerry's little old lady, she'd be like, "Justin, come over here for a second." I'm like, "Man, I'm busy." So I go over there, and she'd be like, "Hey, you're Christian, right?" Yeah. She'd say, "Hey, can you pray for my son? He just went to prison last night." Yeah. "What's his name? Hold on, let me write it down." Okay. Yeah, I'll pray for him. I'll let you know that. People know. They know. So, friend, let me leave you with this. Are you going to be a go missionary, a co-missionary, or a no missionary? The decision is yours. Would you stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? A go missionary, a co-missionary, or a no missionary? The decision is yours.